Jane, age 15. It had been a pretty good morning. The sun wasn't too hot. There hadn't been any dogs. She'd found some promising scrap already. And best of all, there was a huge mess of mushrooms spilling out around the fuel drum in front of her. Jane sat on the ground with her pocket knife, talking to herself as she cut. "Eluons," she said. "Eluons are a bipedal species with silver-scaled skin and cheeks that change color. They don't have a natural ability to speak or hear, so they talk through an implant stuck in their throat." She reached down and sliced a thick strip of fungus into nice, food-sized pieces. It would have been faster to just carve hunks off, but then she'd just have to cut them up again at home. "When you meet Eluons, press your palm into theirs to say hello. Don't be scared when they talk to you without opening their mouths." She brushed clots of dirt from the slices of fungus, then tossed them into her gathering bag. She was pretty proud of that one. It hung well, and the red and yellow fabric she'd found for it was fun, though pretty faded. "Harmagians. Harmagians are really weird." Owl had told her saying species looked weird wasn't a nice thing to do, but there weren't any other species around, were there? She crawled forward into the fuel drum, cutting and cutting. "Harmagians are squishy, soft, and have tentacles. They use carts to get around because the rest of us walk faster than them. Don't touch a Harmagian without permission, because they have sensitive skin. Harmagians usually speak Hanto as a first language, but only the jerkface ones won't speak Klip to you. They used to own a lot of planets, but then the Eluons came along and..." Her knife hit something hard. She wiggled the tip around, trying to get a feel for whatever was beneath. Not metal. Too thick. She pried the fungus aside. She blinked. Bone. She'd hit bone. She used her fingers to pull the fungus away, then grabbed the piece her knife had hit. Jane frowned. A rib, but not a dog rib, and too big to be... She froze, remembering Owl's anatomy lessons. No way. Jane cleared out the mushrooms fast as she could, no longer worrying about nice kitchen-friendly sizes. She grabbed handfuls, tearing and tearing until the picture became more clear. There's a whole heap of bones, tangled and messy. She reached out a hand, a little afraid, though she didn't know why. She pulled a skull from the pile, one of two. She sat back, cupping it in her palms. A human skull. No joke. It was dirty and had thin, scarring lines where the fungus had grown around it. There were other lines in it, too, lines she didn't have to think too hard about to understand. A dog, or many dogs who knew, had run its teeth over this skull once. She thought about how it sized up compared to her own head. Not tiny, but smaller than her, for sure. She stared into the eye sockets, empty except for clumps of dirt and stray roots. The skull had belonged to a little girl. Jane nearly threw up, but she didn't want to waste the food. She stared at the bright sky until her eyes burned. She breathed slow and angry. She spat a few times, fighting to keep her stomach down. It listened. She collected all the pieces she could find. She emptied her bag of scrap onto the wagon. If she lost some of it, fine, and put the bones in instead. It would have been more practical to carry it all together, but she couldn't. She couldn't put girls in with scrap. She went home. There was still a lot of day left, but home was the only thing that made sense right then. Owl didn't say anything once Jane took the skulls out of the bag. Jane sat cross-legged in the middle of the living room, bag of bones by her side, skulls on the floor in front of her. They were about the same size, those skulls. "I bet they were bunkmates," she said. "Oh, honey," Owl said. Her cameras clicked and whirred. What do you want to do with them? What do you think we should do? Jane frowned. I don't know, she said, struggling. I don't know why I brought them back. I couldn't leave them. Well, Owl said with a sigh, let me see if I have any reference files about funerals. Jane knew the word from Sims, but she had never really understood the idea. It was a party for dead people, as far as she could tell. Can you explain a funeral? It's a gathering to honor the life of someone who's died. It also serves as a way for a family or a community to share grief. Al made a face and sighed. I don't have any extensive references on this, but I know some things from memory. I know different human cultures have different customs. Exodens compost their bodies and use the nutrients to fertilize their oxygen gardens. A lot of colonists do that too. Launching remains into the sun is popular among Solans, though some practice cremation, burning bodies down to ash. Some of the communities in the outer planet orbiters freeze and pulverize remains, then distribute the dust among Saturn's rings. And then there's burial. But only grounders and Gaiists do that. That's putting a body in the ground, right? Yes. The body decomposes, and the nutrients go back into the soil. I heard one of the brothers talk about that once. He liked the cyclical nature of it. Jane picked up one of the skulls and cradled it in her hands, trying to imagine a little girl's face looking back at her. What would you have wanted? What would I want? She'd never thought about that before. What did they do with bodies back at the factory? She imagined that whatever it was, there wasn't any honor or grief involved. Dead girls were just junk, probably, like all the rest of it. She pressed her palm against where the little girl's scalp would have been. Something heavy and cold formed in her chest. You weren't junk, she thought, fingers tracing bone, carving white lines through the dirt. You were good and brave, and you tried. What do living people do at funerals? She asked. I'm not entirely sure what the procedure is. I know they talk about the person who died. They clean up the bodies, too. They make them look as good as they can. There's music. People share their memories of the person. And there's food, usually. Food? For the living people, right? For both, I think, in some cases. I can't say for sure, honey. My memory files on this are very limited. This isn't something I thought I'd need to know offhand. Wait, why both? Why would dead people need food? They don't. It's an expression of love, as I understand it. But the dead person doesn't know the food's there. The living people do. Just because someone goes away doesn't mean you stop loving them. Jane thought about that. I'm not going to waste food, she said. But we should do something. I think that's a wonderful idea, said Al. They came up with a good plan together. First, Jane washed the bones, but not in the cargo bay sink. That was where she cleaned dogs. And that didn't feel right. She washed what was left of the girls in the bathroom, the same place where she cleaned herself. She laid the bones out on a length of fabric she'd scavenged from a bench in a wrecked skiff. It was clean and in good shape, but too rough for clothes. She was glad to have found a use for it. Owl pulled up her medical files and helped Jane arrange the pieces in the right way. Some bones were missing. Jane felt bad about that, but she'd tried her best to find them all. There was only so much she could do. Jane cleaned the scrap off the wagon and laid the bones on it. She thought about it more and started rearranging their fingers. What are you doing? Owl said. They're bunkmates, Jane said. They should be holding hands. Owl closed her eyes and bowed her head. Music started playing, a song Jane hadn't heard before. It was weird music, but cheerful, too, all bouncing flutes and drums. What is this? Owl smiled sad. It's an album Max liked when he was small. Andrisk music. This one's called A Prayer for Iset the Eldest. It's tied to a folk legend about an elder who lived 500 years. Is that true? I highly doubt it, but the song is supposed to have been played after her death, a celebration of a long life well lived. Jane looked at the finger bones, now intertwined. They didn't have that. No, but they should have. Owl paused. And you still could. The music danced gently. An Andrisk voice hummed along with the drums. Another joined it, then another, and another. A group blending together. Jane and Owl listened, saying nothing. The song eventually faded away. Do you want to say something to them? Owl said. Jane licked her lips, feeling nervous for no reason. The dead girls couldn't hear her. Even if she said the wrong thing, they wouldn't care, right? I don't know who you were, she said. I don't know your names or numbers or what your task was. She frowned. This was already all wrong. I don't care about your task. That's not what's important. That should never have been the most important thing. What's important is that you were good girls who found out how wrong things are, and you died, and you were probably scared when it happened. That's so unfair, and I am so angry about it. I wish you had been here so we could have helped each other. I wish we could have been friends. Maybe we could have gotten out of here together. She rubbed the back of her head. I don't know who you were, but I remember others. I remember my bunkmate, Jane 64, who said, she smiled, that I was the most good at fixing little stuff. She slept without moving, and she was kind. She was a kind friend, and I remember her. I remember Jane 6, who could sort cables super fast. I remember Jane's 56, 9, 21, 44, 14, and 19, who died in the explosion. I remember Jane 25, who asked too many questions and was probably the smartest of all of us, now that I think about it. I remember the Janes, the Lucys, the Sarahs, the Jennies, the Claires, the Marys, the Beths. She wiped her face on her forearm, eyes stinging. And I'll remember you, too. Owl couldn't be with Jane for the next part of the funeral plan. Jane wished she could be. The walk to the waterhole was way too quiet. All she could hear was the rattle of the wagon of bones in tow. She needed to make some noise. The music back at the shuttle had felt like the right sort of thing to do for a funeral, but she didn't know any songs like that. Engines on, Jane sang softly. Fuel pumps go. Grab your gear, there's lots to know. The galaxy is where we play. Come with us, we know the way. It wasn't nearly as good as the song Owl had picked, but the bones had been little girls once, and Jane bet they'd have liked Big Bug. After she got to the waterhole, she put on the pair of huge rubber boots that had been in the cargo bay from day one. They were enormous on her, but they went up past her knees, which was what she needed. She picked up the fabric that the bones rested on, holding it wide as she could between her arms. The bones shifted together. Some of the lizard birds near the bank looked up. I hope this is okay with you, Jane said to the bones. She stepped carefully into the water, trying not to jostle the bones any more than she had to. I can't launch you to space, and you don't have any nutrients I can make anything out of. She walked forward. The water was dirty and polluted, but it gave life, too. It gave life to the lizard birds, and the fungus, and the bugs, and even the dogs, the bastard dogs who'd made a meal out of these kids. The water gave her life, too. So, in Sims, sometimes they talk about fossils. Fossils are great, because they mean there's a chance somebody will find you a long, long time from now, and what's left of you can teach them things about who you were. I don't know if this will work, but I know you need water and mud for fossils, and this is the best I've got. She stopped in the middle of the pond. The lizard birds chirped. The water lapped at her huge boots. She felt like she could say something more, but what else was there? The bones couldn't hear her anyway. She didn't know why she was talking. She didn't have any more words left, just a heavy chest and a whole lot of tired. She laid the fabric into the water. The water reached up, bleeding through, tugging it down. The bones sank and vanished. As Jane headed back home, she decided something. And she knew it better than she'd ever known anything. She would die someday. No getting around that. But nobody would find her bones in the scrapyard. She wasn't gonna leave them there.